Beckermeyer.
Okay, my presentation is going to be a little different, so we're going to change it up a little bit. My research is with local health departments, so specifically looking at the activities and services of local health departments. And I'm Betty Beckermeyer. I'm at the University of Washington School of Nursing and adjunct in the School of Public Health. The work I'm about to talk about was funded by the Pfizer Public Health Scholars Grant in Public Health. And I'm a public health systems researcher, so that's what I've been looking at. And I have nothing to disclose about this, nothing financially. Some background to this is that the study I'm presenting covers ground from 1993 to 2005. We used data that was only available at certain points in time. Profile survey. NACHO is the National Association of County and City Health Officials, and they've done periodic surveys over the years. Now they're starting to do it every 2 years, but at the time it was very periodic. So I'll be talking about data that came from that period of time, but really it was at the beginning of that period, 1991 in fact, that Healthy People 2000 came out and giving us goals finally for reducing health disparities. So that was really when we started to more intentionally have goals around reducing disparities. Now it was also during this same time period in the 90s and into 2000s that we had dramatic shifts in funding around local health departments and more intentional dramatic shifts in funding than the current financial crisis. But at that time, it has been and still is a trend towards more population-level services versus individually provided services. In the meanwhile, though, there's very little evidence. We have very little evidence of the impact of these changes in services on population health. So what does this really mean, this change, and how are we impacting disparities, hopefully for the better? So we really also know little about what factors support disparity efforts when health departments provide different sorts of activities, et cetera. And in other words, do we know that how we're adapting our public health practice will in fact ideally really reduce and eliminate health disparities? So in that context, we did some research, quantitative research. What I'm going to be talking about is the qualitative piece that we followed our quantitative research with. So a little bit of background in terms of quantitative research. And I have a study, part of this study is under review right now, publication under review, and another piece is about to be published. So some of that will be out or is out in the literature. But in terms of some of our prior research, first we found that with these quantitative data, that certain direct services, and in this case, maternal child health and health services, from 1993 to 2005, particularly appear to positively impact black versus white mortality disparities for 15 to 44-year-olds. So when I'm talking about maternal child health here, provided by health departments, in this case, it was areas of service like family planning, WIC, EPSDT, or early periodic screening for young children. For health services, I'm talking about comprehensive primary care, oral health, home health, mental health, so certain sort of more primary care service delivery conducted by health departments. And our sample, our quantitative sample, had 558 local health departments, and was a national sample of health departments, but overrepresented health departments in the South and in urban areas because we were looking at an outcome of mortality disparities, and so we needed an adequate statistical sample of mortality. Now, the implications of this for us, for the study I'm presenting today, were to try to determine what mechanisms in these local health department services really appear to impact disparities. What is it about those services that appear to act differently? Now, also in our prior research, in the same previous study, we looked at the lead executive of local health departments. The NACHO profile also has lead executive data for, again, these 93 and 2005 surveys. Now, we found significant changes in the discipline of the lead executive over those years, We also found significantly more female and minority lead executives in the later year. And these changes were not associated with rural and urban jurisdictions, which often is the case in these data. Now, the effects of this was that it appeared from these data that local health departments with clinician lead executives, and by clinician here I mean nurses and physicians, had significantly greater reductions in black-white mortality disparities for this 15 to 44-year-old age group than non-clinician lead executives. And again, so in this qualitative research, we wanted to know why, what might be happening there, and asking experts in the field. So a research question for what I'm talking about today is, given this lack of evidence about how these things work, our research question was to look at how do these certain domains of local health department services and the type of leader function to reduce mortality disparities. So that's what I'm going to talk about. Our qualitative methods, I interviewed 11 semi-structured interviews with public health leaders, and those public health leaders were people that were selected out of a sample of folks that had been local health department directors or leaders themselves for many, many years, and they had an average of 21 years in local health departments. We also looked for people that participated on a national level in relationship to public health practice, so they also would have this kind of broad view as well. We used snowball sampling. Our sample also was systematically developed so that we had males and females. We had people representing different racial and ethnic groups, different region of the country, educational levels, professional backgrounds, etc. And we also made sure that we had interviews that sort of overrepresented the South and urban areas as well, and those that had been in practice in those areas, since that's where a lot of our sample came from. In terms of our analysis, we used inductive methods, open coding, created categories, and abstraction through using Atlas TI software, and then had three different people working on the coding and doing inter-rater reliability, et cetera. Our findings kind of came into these thematic areas: surprises, transitions of practice, targeting services, leadership, and secular trends. So I'll be talking quickly about those. In terms of surprises, regarding the finding around MCH and health services, interviewees indicated that these services were kind of acted to them as expected. These were largely considered direct clinical services. They perceived them as very direct services to individuals, and they didn't feel surprised that these services in particular during this period of time would really have an impact on reducing disparities in particular. The clinician leaders piece was more of one that tended to be surprising to them, and people seemed to kind of scratch their head over that a little bit, the clinician versus non-clinician results. But they found this very interesting. In terms of transitions, they talked a lot about, you know, things were transitioning during that time, in particular to a focus on disparities. So health disparities may have decreased overall due to a focused effort by health departments in addressing health disparities, and that these direct services may have had a quicker outcome or a quicker impact during that period of time. So it might have been secular, some thought, or due to specific focus by the health department, that there was this focused attention during this period, in part perhaps because of the Healthy People 2000 goals, et cetera. Representative quote here is, "We also had local health department leaders who came in the early 2000s who made decreasing health disparities a focus at the policy and local levels. Then late 90s to early 2000s, a state-level office on health disparities was created. So for the first time, there was some honest discussions in relationship to black-white disparities," and that this may have been a catalyst. There was also talk about this transition of type of services to population-level focused services from more the direct service. And this transition to population service was not seen as a panacea. They don't know that that's really the panacea. this quote saying, there's beginning to be a recognition that just because the rest of the LHDs in the country need to get out of direct services, that may not be the best model in tremendously underserved areas like those in Alabama, Arkansas, Mississippi. In terms of targeting services, there was a lot about those that had successfully targeted their services around certain populations of need. Several interview participants theorized that MCH and the health services or primary care category likely had an impact on decreasing these health disparities, these mortality disparities, due to these services really targeting specific populations of need. And participants seemed to feel that local health departments were particularly good at targeting these services, especially during this period when they felt like there was a new and more concerted effort for health departments to focus these services with populations at risk. And that health departments were really good at providing these services, and they focused them more on these marginalized populations. Those that were particularly good were really reducing disparities as a result. So here's saying, if the health department maintained and increased their services in a targeted way, their MCH and health services in a targeted way, and connected it well with outreach and engagement, and then to a location with access to a Black population, then that association makes sense to me. In terms of the leadership, or the around this clinician leadership piece, people talked about clinician leaders having stronger linkages, in particular with the healthcare sector and providers, and having more of a focus, perhaps, on clinical services that it seemed made more of an immediate difference. Regarding these linkages with other providers, clinicians would be more likely to perhaps work with other kinds of health providers in the community in a collaborative partnership kind of way. And this focus on clinical services, I'm wondering whether clinician that led health departments just puts more emphasis on services related to healthcare or preventive health services compared to more emphasis on environmental health, inspection, regulation, those control aspects. Also regarding these clinician leaders, it was still sort of this kind of, well, it just depends. There was a lot of scratching of the head that there can be a trade-off. Well, there is no perfect type of person for a health department. It really depends on what their critical needs are. If they're really not handling their business well, maybe they need more of a business type of leader, but they've got these other kinds of services seem to be successful or going well or what have you. People talked about that a lot. That the clinicians may have, for example, a better grasp on what might have potential for decreasing disparities and effectively making those things happen in their communities. But non-clinicians, they said, might be more about the business end of public health. In terms of these secular trends, despite the resonance of some of these findings with interview participants, several of them suggested that there may have been other social and environmental factors that influenced the quantitative findings, you know, sort of in the environment. So some felt that secular trends may have affected the outcomes or were confounders here, particularly regarding the services. So saying, but if you look at what was going on all over the country as a whole, it would appear that the disparities were already decreasing. The impact of the disparities for maternal child health and these health services and the clinician versus non-clinician, they may have not been due to the work of the health department, they were suggesting, but other areas in the environment. So in thinking about this, the quantitative findings really sort of tended to resonate with participants and be supported, but there was really no clear consensus on the why or the how, so I'm sorry to say the black box has not totally been revealed to us. But particularly with regard to this clinician finding, which was interesting. Regarding the notion that unmeasured secular trends may have influenced the findings, there is certainly limitations to our quantitative study, you know, in many ways. Nonetheless, our statistical model, we really controlled for numerous other control variables and made many attempts to measure changes in the demographic and healthcare supply in those counties over time as well, and other things that could have influenced the outcome. But participants echoed the literature that clinicians may have may have a different impact on practice from that of non-clinicians. There's studies by Bhandari and Scutchfield that make mention of nurses as having a relationship to certain elements of public health performance standards. There's work I've done that's looked at nurse leaders and types of services by health departments, that there's significant differences in the types of services. So there's, you know, we're starting to find little bits of information that sort of reflects some of this as well. Also, these findings really suggest that there are some strong connections made regarding targeted clinical services and reducing disparities and folks that resonates with folks. And it's further support for sort of the right kind of leader, whatever that right kind of leader is, or what are the mechanisms that make for this right kind of leader, and for the right kind of services. And I would contend under the right, you know, under what conditions and for what populations. So in conclusion, the approach to local health department transitions away from direct services, I would contend, ought to be, we should be doing this cautiously and with full awareness of how this impacts or doesn't our populations, considering local conditions, who are these other partners in our communities that we can partner with in terms of transitioning services in one way or another, who might be the best to provide these services. And consideration of this is particularly important and timely now, I think, in light of major shifts in practice toward population-based local health department practice, as well as with regard to the general closure of many services due to the national funding crisis. And also, I think it's important to examine the qualities of leaders, of effective leaders, for reducing health disparities. It may not be about the clinician or the non-clinician, but what is it about those leaders that we need to understand and further maximize? Thank you very much, and those wrap up.
Thank you, Dr. Becca Meyer. We'll take a couple of questions now, if there are any pressing questions. If anyone has to leave before the end of the session, no? Did you have a question?
I did, but I can wait, so you just want to urgent questions.
What did you say? I didn't hear.
Do you only want urgent questions?
Oh, if someone needs to leave before the end of the session. Oh, okay. All right, great. Okay, so let's give her another applause.